Welcome to Droneit Group Drone Business Chats. We talk about the ups and downs of being in the drone industry with Lee Castledine and Andy P.
Right, Monday morning, weekend was done. Had a fun weekend, had nothing to do with drones over the weekend.
Just drone flying. Drone
free.
It was drone free zone. Much like
how'd you feel about it? Did you get the urge like you needed to sort of, I don't know, just get the drone out or the camera out and take some photos? Like even if it was like a nice sunny day, you go, geez, that I could go down here, just take a few.
It was a sunny day and there was plenty going on, and yeah. I didn't have that urge at all.
You didn't? That's good.
No.
You need
to do that. That was my weekend, droneless, looking forward to what might be a very busy drone week ahead of us.
What have we got?
We've got to do some work with helicopters and the refueling of. We've got that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Golf Network.
Are you booked in there?
Yep.
Got a few courses?
Yeah. So, but
how many courses are you going to get done this week?
We'd like to get four done, but we'll see what happens. So, but that falls on the same start on the same time. It's going to clash with some other work that we got. The IOR, fuel, helicopters, Gold Coast, all that stuff.
We also have to finalise the BLKG / Scoot shoot.
So that's us going down to
Manly,
the Hunter
Manly
Valley,
Beach.
Manly.
Blue Mountains, then Hunter Valley. So probably a 3-day road trip.
Right.
Okay. So they're probably the big jobs we got on the next couple of weeks.
So Porsche is designing, and it was only going to be a matter of time, but Porsche is in the midst of designing
a drone,
a luxury drone.
Well,
so
it's going to be have all the bell and whistles. It's going to be diamond crusted.
It'll have
props.
Diamond crusted props. It'll probably have a wood finish inside
It'll have an oak frame.
Yep.
It'll probably have a red camera stuck to it somehow,
framed up.
No, this is one that you would. This is like luxury drone taxis, like man.
Oh, not
man
not
size.
Little toys for
so,
drone.
No. The personal luxury vehicle of the future may not be a roadster, but a passenger drone.
Righto. I'd like to see that.
Does that mean everyone's going to make drones?
Well,
that mean Holden would make drones? Ford?
Would you buy a Skoda drone?
I probably would. Skoda sound like they should have made drones.
Should have made
it
drones instead
cool.
of cars. I tell you what, if the legislation, if CASA opened up the airways and made a form of...
Well, there's got to be a market there.
A form of highway in the sky that didn't really interrupt the flight paths of planes, right? There would be a whole new market. There would be a rush to the skies for all these car industries would all of a sudden be developing drones for transportation, I reckon.
I mean, imagine
CASA opening up and saying your highways, 100 feet, 200 feet in the sky, along running parallel in the sky to just normal highways, the M1 or Waterworks Road or whatever, Logan Road, the main arterial, the main sort of... It'll be air to... imagine that. But they won't.
You'd have it at different tiers. You'd have, say, your passengers, your sports cars, and then, say, buses and that would all say you operate at 150 feet, you're at 200, you're at 250.
But if you just kept it simple and kept it along the same routes as actual physical roads, then you wouldn't have this issue of drones, like people in a drone just hovering over someone's house of an odd time. I don't know.
It'd be hectic. Look, if you can remember Back to the Future or...
The DeLorean.
The DeLorean flying through the sky and the traffic problems they have.
They did. It was chaos, wasn't it?
It was chaos. Also, what else is a futuristic chaos?
The Jetsons.
Traffic. The Jetsons. They got around all right.
They got their shit together.
Fifth Element. pretty hectic.
Yeah, that was
The latest Star
Wars. That's probably why they
ripped off Fifth Element with their science fiction.
That's probably why they haven't done it, because CASA just, you know, look at these movies and go, oh, we can't have that. Can't
do it. We haven't. It's not nice enough yet to do it. So that's Porsche. Drone taxis of the future. I didn't know they were out of Stuttgart. It's on the emblem. I didn't know that.
No, right.
But once Porsche do it, I'm sure.
Have they designed one yet?
That's their thing. They're going, oh, here we go. While the vision of flying cars brings back memories of the Jetsons.
Ah.
And you may remember that George's commute was just as challenging as any modern day LA. Oh, right. So they were. Oh, do. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I don't know what they ran off, LiPo batteries or some sort of cell batteries or something. I don't know.
Sprockets. Spacely sprockets.
Yeah, these little, yeah.
Spacely sprockets. Anyway, so in the future, it's going to be just as narcissistic in the sky as it is on the roads now.
Like when we just got to get a coffee before.
Porsche, Audi drivers, they're all the same.
No matter whether on the got wheels or in the air. A man has been jailed for 5 years today after being convicted of flying drones carrying £35,000 worth of drugs and contraband items into prison grounds.
Wow. Where was this?
Mr. Toby, 28, was found guilty of using two drones to transport quantities of cannabis and psychoactive drugs, mobile phones and phone chargers, SIM cards, needles into the grounds.
Psychoactive
drugs.
That's just what you need in prison.
Seems to be a common occurrence, this whole using drones to drop drugs over. Prison officers observed the drone fly over the walls and into the exercise yard on two occasions in 2016. On both occasions, each drone was carrying a bag which contained the drugs and other items. Data analysis of previous flights made by both drones revealed that they have been flown over or near Michael Tovey's home address in Birmingham.
Did they think he was not going to get heard? What drone did he use? I won't say, probably DJI. Like, don't tell them they used
it. Have a guess. Drone. Oh, it's a good. It's the P4, the Phantom 4. So yeah, he hasn't used a cheap drone. That's a nice drone. I mean, I don't know why you need a P4 for that one. Just to drop drugs. 5 years. There you go.
5 years in jail. And I wonder if anyone's going to drop anything off to him with a drone.
There's been a fair bit of that, hasn't there? It's relatively... The setup...
There's been cases of it in Australia as well. So...
It's pretty simple. He's set up. He just had a big, long piece of rope with a plastic bag attached to the...
It could be done.
Well, it has been done.
You know, but it could be done a lot better, maybe a bit more discreetly, as opposed to a zzzz.
I think with that, the rope only looked like about 30 centimetres long, so he's actually had to fly it in. And literally close to... And
I'm coming in hot!
You see the prison... Oh, man. The guys who are doing their workouts literally have to stand up and detach the plastic bag. Whereas anyone who wants to do it discreetly would probably, I reckon, fly maybe 500 yards in the sky so you can't hear the drone, and then have a little instrument that you could drop it.
You drop it. Much like they do with the fishing these days. You can drop it.
So maybe there's a market consultation.
It's simple. Andy. It's simple, man. You go with what's been used in the past and
adapt.
Back when I used to throw drugs and contraband into prisons,
you have to have a good arm.
Good arm and
is that why your shoulders are rooted?
And a taped up tennis ball. How you going? And that's all you'd need to have done with this. Drop the tennis ball from height at night time and say, look, Bob, you know. You're lucky you might be there in the morning.
There you go. You know, like...
And instead,
maybe we can do some consulting.
Well, it's organised crime, so it's money. There's money there.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it on Shark Tank last year. A guy came in with a really bad homemade drone that claimed that it uses use solar power energy to charge the batteries to fly the drone. And it got the interest of Steve Baxter, who's obviously very techie orientated, and then he started drilling into a few more questions and found out that it was nothing more than just something that he designed at home, and he actually hasn't got any.
It's just a battery charger, it's not a solar drone.
He literally just put some little solar panels you'd find on those trekking, on the hikes that you'd get.
Yeah.
And he just stuck it to the top of the drone. So not a lot of thought. I don't think he'd...
no understanding of...
He hadn't really gone to any engineers to see whether it was feasible or not. But it won't be long. It won't be long, but before drones...
Solar power drones made of bamboo. Strong, light.
Well, the drones are made of bamboo.
Drones, the shell. The
shell. I mean, the shells at the moment are pretty light anyway. They're not heavy. They're made of plastic.
Yeah, but they're plastic. I'm thinking of the future.
Oh, you're thinking that? Or are you thinking... is that something that...
I just came up with then.
How about a wooden drone? Wooden shell, that is.
Oh, it's a bamboo.
Yeah. Like, you know, the sunglasses, they got bamboo sunglasses these days.
They got bamboo keyboards, computers. Mate, there's... You want it, bamboo, they've got it these days.
All right, a bamboo shell. So you're saying that you buy a DJI drone and you take the shell off and you put a...
Put the bamboo one on.
It'd have to be lighter than the current.
It would be.
All right. It's a good idea. I like it.
It's what's the word? When some... Sustainable, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a lot more sustainable than...
That's... Where the world's heading, isn't it?
Well, maybe. I don't know what process it takes to manufacture bamboo down to make it.
500 trees to make it. Worse than its carbon footprint is all.
This is a giant footprint. Giant, uses
just for one drone.
So much oil and coal power just to make one thing. But that's good.
But it's made of wood, so it's obviously recyclable as well.
I'm still disturbed by this insurance with drones, like.
That's an interesting topic, that one, because
so
it's a market where insurance companies are. I'm finding that there seems to be less and less work around checking on qualifications,
yeah,
and giving insurance policies, and I see the insurance companies why they want to do it, because you've got a market there now. You've got in 5,000, 10,000 drone operators who you can possibly get a policy off, as opposed in the past to maybe 500 commercial operators. But there's a bit of a grey area as to whether or not the REOC, the process that CASA put forward through legislation, REOC, REPL, sub 2 kilogram, and then the insurance world. So the insurance world seems to be at the moment, if you've got a drone, we'll insure you. And it doesn't really, whether or not you've got an REPL, whether you've got the whole gamut of qualifications, or whether you've only got just a drone without anything, you seem to be able to get insured. So it's tricky, because on one hand you want to stick to the rules, CASA legislation rules, but the other, one of the most important things is, if something goes wrong, you want to protect yourself or your business, and that's where insurance comes in. So do you focus more on what the insurance policy holders are, sort of putting forward, or whether what CASA are putting forward? Do you know what I mean? So if, say, for example, insurance company A says, you know what, we're just going to give you insurance, you've just got to pass a small test, why would people want to go through all the process of getting all the CASA rules and regulations?
But yeah, but that, I guess, what?
I don't know.
What, up to what point do you get insurance? Like, yeah, man, we can get insurance, but this insurance is like, there's so many different things, levels of insurance. Is it business insurance? Is it car insurance? Is it life insurance? Yeah, anyone can get insurance, sure. But then, yeah, we'll insure your drone. If you break your drone, we'll insure you so you can get a new one. If your drone hits a car of nuns on Sunday and that car veers off into a special bus of kids that's full and everything bursts into flames and everyone dies, a horrible death, does the insurance company go, oh yeah, we've got you covered for that? I doubt that, man.
Mm.
If with just your basic, like, got a drone, got insurance. I don't think so.
Yeah, and
I think everyone's been, so it's like, yeah, my drone's insured, but for what?
Yeah.
What is it is insured
it
for?
Is it for just the warranty on the drone? Like if a piece snaps off or a camera doesn't work?
Does it mean that if Andy Joe Blow goes down and flies his drone, do I need to have insurance more for what I can do to other people as opposed to insurance for what I can do to my drone?
Good question.
I
think people are confused by that too, because once they hear, oh, I can go get, anyone can go get insurance now.
Yeah.
But there's levels of insurance, and the levels of insurance are determined by the amount of qualifications you've got. That's at the end of the day.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And redundancies. Like, look, when we fill our stuff out for drone insurance, do you have a parachute on your drone? No. We don't. So you pay for that. Which is good. Maybe we should look into getting some little parachutes. It'll be great.
I tried that. I did see something.
They work, but they're like about $1,000. You put them on
more than the drone itself.
Yeah. I'm sure that they should be cheaper now. But that's, I think that there's a fair confusion with people believing, I can fly my drone for money and I've got it insured. But it's like, yeah, man, you've only got it insured if you hit a tree and it breaks. It's sort of like, pay your excess, see you later. So what happens when that drone hits someone in the face? You've hit someone crossing the road. Right, okay, cool, yep, I've got my drone insurance. I go to my insurer and go, oh, look, you know, this is what happened. I damaged my drone and I hit someone in the face. I go, okay. So what's the person going that you hit in the face? I've got obviously they've had medical problems, and you know, this day and age, they're sure that they're going to have post-traumatic stress disorder from drones flying around and hitting them, so I'm going to have to somehow compensate them for that. Alright, cool, your insurance is only covered for the drone. Is it public liability?
Professional indemnity.
None of that.
Yeah, you'd be very exposed, I reckon. You'd be naked.
Super. I feel half naked flying now, and I know it's insured, and I do all my procedures, let alone Captain Cowboy that goes out there and does what he wants. Oh, I'm bloody insured. I've got my REPL. I'm right to go, man.
Yeah, well, we've heard people getting insurances just from their REPL. And not having a REOC. So does that then, when insurance companies come back and if there is an accident, then they'll be asking for your REPL, tick, then they'll be asking, righto, what REOC do you fly under? Show us your maintenance procedures, your
maintenance, flight, your logs,
your operation procedures, your flight procedures, show me all your manuals. And then when that person goes, no, I've only got an REPL, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, then the insurance guys, didn't you know?
Yeah.
Didn't you know that,
of course, the insurance company's going to take...
We'll insure you.
Insurance company's going to take policies off you. They'll insure you, but they won't. You have to do your homework as
we'll
to what
you will tell you the truth, but not the whole truth. The truth is that you had to actually do... You
either have to fly, get your own REOC, or fly underneath someone else's.
Someone else's, or at least have those things. As like, oh, where's your flight logs? Here. Where's your... What was the other stuff you said? Flight logs, flight history.
Oh, no, just your manuals.
Maintenance, and that all
stems from the REOC. So your REOC.
So you only know that if
as much as it's a pain in the ass, CASA, the reason why REOC is designed is that you have flight manuals, you have your operation manuals, and your maintenance manuals and your drone. It's exactly like a plane. So Qantas has exactly the same. You know, like every plane company, a Qantas, Jetstar, whatever, they all have their own, I suppose, essentially their own equivalent of a REOC, their flight manuals, their operations, and how they maintain their planes. And it's exactly the same with drones. So if something goes belly up and you don't have that documentation or you don't have that REOC, then I tell you what, I don't think they're going to be backing. The insurance company is not going to be saying, "Oh, we got you covered. Don't worry about it."
So I guess that's really anything. If anyone that's worked in jobs that have accountability, especially construction, but you wouldn't do anything if there's no one signed off on it or anything like that, or if you do, you know it's dodgy if there's nothing there. Therefore, you should know it's dodgy if you're flying your drone around without any sort of insurance that has to have some kind of accountability for you to get that.
It's very, very reactive, I find, is, that people try and get away with whatever they can to save money. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's one of those ones where it's too late sometimes, because the event will happen and they won't have insurance, and then they'll sort of...
They'll get cooked.
They'll clamour and try and claim stuff. So the downside, it does come at a cost and time, but if you're in it for the long run, and if you're in it to make a business of it, then it's worth getting cover for sure, and getting the right cover as well. As I said, insurance companies they'll give you a policy, all right. They'll give us a policy for anything, but what will they give you a policy for? You've got to ask those questions.
Fine print, man.
Yeah, you really got to ask those questions. And if for someone who's an insurance company is giving you insurance based on an REPL and not having the full gamut of certification, which means you have your REOC and your REPL, then you've got to question whether they know what they're doing, the insurance company. We use a specific insurance company that knows aviation law, so yeah, we're comfortable with the cover that we have. But if you go to a UE or an AMI, they might give you coverage, but they wouldn't know the intricacies of drone laws and aviation law. So it's important to make sure that you get the right cover. And speak to, I suppose, the people, the insurance companies in the aviation law, in the aviation industry. That's probably a really good recommendation. Otherwise, you're using an insurance company that knows nothing about drone laws. You're probably not even covered. You're probably covered for basic photography, if anything, not even aerial photography. So that could come back to bite you. You wouldn't drive a car uninsured. A lot of people have to insure themselves personally. So
yeah, you have to do that other bit of insurance.
Every business, literally, if you own your own business and you're not covered from an insurance point of view, it doesn't happen these days. Builders, engineers, they all have insurances, professional indemnity, public liability. So to try and get away with that and skimp on a bit of money, is fraught with danger. It could end your personal life, because
you could end
you
up
have,
yeah.
you have no nothing in between yourself getting put, that people will come after your personal assets, and I keep telling that to people.
Yeah,
if Andy, you go and fly a drone and you have no coverage or the wrong
coverage, yep,
and something happens. Worst case scenario, something happens. There's no insurance policy. There's nothing. Then you're personally, they'll come after your, oh, Andy's got a car. Oh, great. Andy's got a house. Great.
Take that.
Let's take him for everything.
Yeah.
Your life could be just wrecked just from a small little thing in terms of getting the qualification and the right policy. So I try and keep telling that to people, but when they see the drone fly and the drones are, and I think the downside of that is the drones are so good these days that they have got anti-avoidance collision, they hardly ever drop from the sky like they did back probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They look safe, they feel safe, so it makes sense for people to go, I don't need to. I'm not going to run into anyone.
This isn't going
to.
Nah,
I'm not
going to
run
right.
into
them,
but. Trust me, there's things in the sky that come from nowhere. You've seen it, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Birds, gusts of wind.
Gusts of wind.
Things that just, for some reason, the telemetry stuff up and the drone doesn't react as well as you want it to react.
Yeah, exactly.
That's happened.
You have a brain freeze. It's done. Yeah.
You lose concentration.
You push up when you're meant to push down.
You go forward instead of back. It's happened. And yeah, cascade of events follow, you know. So anyway, that's my little 5 cents on insurance. And
insurance, you need to find out.
Ask the questions. You got to ask the questions. You need to know what questions you're asking to the insurance company. It's
and,
no point.
And pepper them.
Yeah.
And if they get annoyed because you're asking questions, then they're not the people to insure them.
If they don't have the answers, then they don't know their aviation law. So yeah, it's important to get
red flags.
It's important to get the to talk to the right insurance companies, because insurance companies will just go, you know what? There's a market there. We could, there's a market, so let's just open up our policy. But I don't know, I worry for people who want to get into the drone world or the aerial world, and they tag on their drone insurance to their current photography insurance.
Home and contents or
home
something
contents.
Like that.
Oh my goodness, like, it's just cover yourself and have that knowledge, knowing that you can fly, and if something does happen, that there is a degree of separation between your personal assets and the vicious lawyers out there.
For example, there was a carnival across the road from my place. But say you're on holiday at the Lullabar in the triathlon zone. You've got your Mavic and you throw that up and you're like, oh, this is great. All of a sudden, a bird hits it. Someone hits it with a ball or a strong gust of wind. Your drone flies off and smashes into a bunch of athletes. Right, and all of a sudden you're ruining careers of people who may already have signed multi-million dollar contracts. That could be jail time.
It is all doomsday stuff, but like, you know, we're all saying worst case, but you have to take that into consideration. When you start a business, you've got to take that into consideration. You've got to take into consideration, what is the worst case scenario when I start a business? Okay. Yeah. Worst case scenario is shit, a drone just flies off and hits someone. That's worst case.
So how do I prevent that from
mitigate that from me going under? So there, that's a real big question you ask. And
huge.
You know, when you're not working for yourself, and if you are self-employed, because these are all business. When you go into the business for yourself. Hello. Good morning.
Hey, hi.
When you go into the business for yourself, you've got to, all of a sudden you're self-employed, you're a business owner. So it's a different thought process if you're working for someone else and they're looking after the insurances, you're an employee.
Yeah.
That mindset.
Well, that's right. The onus is on the business owner.
Yeah, that mind shift from that to being a business owner is all these questions that you have to ask yourself and sort of protect yourself for. So
that's the kind of stuff they should teach at school. Oh. Cover yourself,
Pythagoras's theory, or whatever that is.
Pythagoras's
or pie. Who is pie?
Pie, Yatla pies.
Mate, that's real life stuff.
It's real life stuff.
Yeah, I would hate for people who get so excited about the industry and they want to get, and all of a sudden something bad happens to them, and it would hurt if it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much just to make a few calls, do a bit of homework, ask the right questions.
No.
Find out the CASA, the steps that you need to do to get your certification. And then once you know that, then you can go to insurance companies and start asking questions.
Exactly right. And they are out there. You just got to do your research. You just got to Google stuff. Basically, excuse these days for people to say,
I don't know.
You didn't know. It's like, you did know. Everyone knows. The information's there. You just didn't ask.
Exactly.
So that's the way it is these days. All right.
Good chat.
Cool. Good chat. That's one coffee down.
By the way, have we renewed our insurances?
I think we just did. We just sorted all that stuff out. They're all renewed and they're all good.
There you go.
All right. Excellent. Done. Thanks, Lee.
No worries. Until next time.
Till the next coffee.
Till the next coffee, yeah.
Drone inaugural. How you going podcast. Talk about insurance. Doom and gloom.
Coffee.
Yeah. Doom and gloom.
We need it with a coffee.
Talk.
Can't be done without a coffee.
Can't be done. Coffee talk next time with drones.
Coffee. Coffee.